And welcome back to Regionally Speaking. I'm your host, Dee Dotson.
Focusing on public affairs that educate as well as inform viewers, while also dedicating a safe space for delicate life stories, Lakeshore PBS will premiere the 9th season of the hit topics-based, nationally syndicated The Whitney Reynolds Show on Monday, April 17th at 6:30 p.m. The Emmy-nominated show focuses on tough, thought-provoking topics that promote positive change, inspiration, and invokes a sense of understanding. Joining me now in studio to give a sneak peek of the upcoming season is the Chief Inspo Officer, Whitney Reynolds herself. Whitney, as always, I'm just so excited to have you join me on Regionally Speaking.
It is so nice. I love it when I'm sitting across face-to-face. Dee, we just have such a good time together, and being able to actually do this in person today is everything.
So, you know, Whitney, without sounding like I am a fangirl, you know, I always tell you that I am probably one of your biggest fans.
And friends.
And friend.
Yeah.
And friend. I was going to say and friend, in part because you have literally been a part of Lakeshore Public Media since the genesis of the Whitney Reynolds Show. And so I've seen your growth.
Yeah.
I have seen the growth of your show. And it's why I'm so excited to have you in studio. You know, sometimes we have the opportunity to talk on the phone for our interviews, but it's always so exciting to have you in studio. Because we get to talk about, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, season 9.
It's weird, right?
Season 9 of your nationally syndicated show. And this season's theme is a season of renewal, embracing hope. And it promises, I believe, just by taking a look at the snippet of the 6 episodes, that it will be your best. And I want to get into some of the episodes a little bit later, but I just have to ask you, you must be just extremely excited about this season and the wide range of topics that you're going to cover this season, correct?
It is wild because every season, just like my kids, I don't have a favorite. I always say I don't have a favorite season, but we can't be releasing something that we're calling a season of renewal and hope without being so stoked for it. Because what I truly believe is our program is something that the world needs, not because people need to invite me into their living room and all that kind of stuff. We remind our viewers that their story matters and that our tough chapters are pruning us for more and can actually help someone after us. So this season is full of that as we've continued to grow, because it is weird that we're on season 9. I still can't believe it. I am turning 39 next month. So I'm like,
you don't look a day over 16.
Thank you. But I've been doing this a long time, and we are truly dedicated to being that safe space for hope and bringing out topics that really need to be shared. You know, Dee, you said something very interesting, that Lakeshore was a part of us from the very beginning. When we made that strategic move over to PBS from NBC nonstop at the time, we knew we wanted to dig deep with topics and that PBS was that platform for us. Originally, though, we were told it might not be successful because people didn't need hope. People were like, we want to talk gossip. We think that you're more suited maybe eating sushi and talking to chefs and that kind of thing. And don't get me wrong, chefs still have a story and you'll see them on our show. But when people come on our show, they're coming for a big reason.
And I love that you say that. There is a place for, you know, the tabloid type shows, the cook shows and all of that. I do. I kind of indulge, but your show is unique and different because it does bring hope. It is always so inspiring. And I think about, and I'm kind of going off script, but I think about the world in which we live in today. And I just believe that your show is one that we really and truly need because it's always positive. You know, I always tell my friends that Whitney is the same charming, charismatic, bubbly personality that you see on her show and on social media that you see in person. And I just know that you are really and truly something that is needed, especially in this day and age.
You know, that is something that we have dedicated this program to. But when COVID happened is when I actually got the call to go national. That's when the world was clinging on to any glimmer of light. And that is when they said, hey, are you ready for syndication? And of course, I'd been begging for it for years. So I'm like, yes, all ready. Here I come. And that moment that we stepped into, I take it very serious. You know, it's interesting that you say you are the same person, because I always tell my team that too. Absolutely. If I'm not bringing hope to even our interns or our, you know, cameramen, like, what are we doing here? I want to be that safe space, no matter what room I'm in, to remind people that they are of value and that what they have gone through and the story they hold is very important.
So Whitney, you know, we've had many, many conversations down through the years, and I always talk about the fact that you are a daughter, a wife, a mother to two beautiful 8-year-old twins.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? But you're also this wonderful girl boss. You took your show. You own it, which is so inspiring, so encouraging, even for me. And I've shared that with you in the past. Even as I continue my career in media, it is so inspiring to see you take your name and own your own show. And I'm not saying that just because you're sitting across from me, and I don't even want to cry or get emotional, but it is just so powerful. And I look at the move that you made, it's very similar to another big name in media, Oprah Winfrey, who took her show, which bears her own name, and she owns it. And so I want to talk a little bit about how does it feel to add your name, because I heard as I was coming into the studio, I don't think that you knew I heard you, but I heard you say that you submitted your show for Daytime Emmy.
Yeah.
How does it feel to do that, especially a show that bears your name?
It's wild. You know, it's one of those things that people forget that when you own a show, you know, 2 weeks ago, not only were we producing this new season, but I was negotiating my E&O insurance. Like, it cracks me up because people don't realize that when you own a show, you own it, baby. And yeah, there's a lot of things that come with that. I truly would not do it any other way, but I'm also in the cheap seats because it's all I was given the opportunity to do, because at the time the recession happened, and I had started this online type show to keep my resume relevant while I was doing many other things.
Right.
And that show is eventually what transpired to be the Whitney Reynolds Show. But what was so cool is a few years ago, Cranes Chicago named me 40 under 40. And that moment was when I was at the table with some big CEOs in Chicago that were also under 40 and people that are changing the world. It was so cool to be recognized as a businesswoman, because for so long, it was a host that was barely trying to make it. And then to know that our business plan too is centered, like, I formed a business around hope, and I'm, you know, that's what I joke, that I'm the hope dealer. I want to be known as the person that is that largest voice believing in people. And if we can do that and we formed a business around it, that's huge. And so, you know, 2 years ago, we also moved into CineCity Studios, which was a game changer for us. Last year, we went all digital, which everybody thought I was nuts. I love that we're taping with Apple. I mean, that's incredible to me. I love being progressive. Technology's working in our favor, folks. And, you know, you mentioned the other talk show host that, you know, I get compared to a lot because she also owns her show and she also goes there with stories. But what's interesting is kind of this mind switch that I've had to do with my team and my viewers, because people are so used to seeing the big lights, the big studio, the big audience, the big everything. And we are doing it different. Are we still doing audience? Absolutely. But we are doing it differently, and we're doing it our own way and really letting technology and the day and time work for us.
And I think that is so awesome. And I must say, you deserved a seat at that table with that Cranes 40 under 40. And that's, again, I know I sound like I'm just like, oh, Whitney is the best, but you really and truly are, again, so inspiring, as you are the chief inspo officer.
Well, and I want to take a moment too, because this is some shift that I've seen in my, you know, 15, 20 years I've been in television. When I started as a morning anchor, D, people didn't celebrate like what we're doing right now. It was claw your way to the top. There's not enough room for you. There's not enough pie. And what I love, and this is kudos to you too, we're both very confident in our God-given gift and our purpose in life. And that's what we're sharing with the world. I would truly challenge any of our listeners that might feel in this seat of competition, do good at what you've been gifted with. And I tell you, the right doors will open. Be your biggest believer in yourself and lift others up. When someone tells you that dream of theirs, encourage it.
Absolutely.
It wasn't laid on their heart on accident. And I remember when it was recession time. I had started this online show, had my resume out to TV stations. I had to sell shoes for a little bit. I was selling shoes at Nine West. And nothing is more humbling than being at someone's feet. Seriously, there's a lot of different looking feet in the world, I discovered. And telling somebody their dreams. And I had some women that would be like, okay, bring me the third shoe. Just stop. I'm here to buy shoes. And then I had some people that looked back at me and they're like, I believe you can do it. And those people and those words of affirmation still stick with me today. And that's the funny world of social media. I feel like not only have the viewers here at Lakeshore grown up with me, watched me become a mom, but even these people on social media that knew me at Nine West, they have watched what this dream was really manifest into this game-changing show that's going there.
I really love the fact that you're sharing transparency with our listening audience that you had very humble beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
Because people just assume, oh, yeah, she went to this wonderful university. She worked with so many broadcast networks, and then she was kind of handed. I'm sure someone will probably say she was handed the keys to her own show. So it is so wonderful to hear you share with our listening audience, especially as we continue to recognize Women's History Month, that you did it all on your own and that you had support along the way from those. And sometimes it's those who don't support you that help propel you as well. So I'm so glad that
it does. It's pruning you for more. I also want to note that for the last 10, 12 years, I've done this show and people haven't known my why. Dee, I am walking into a season, not necessarily this spring, maybe not in the fall, but I am working on sharing my why with the world. And that is going to be a moment that I cannot wait to be like, okay, the girl that you have grown up with or you think you know, here is really what she went through and why this safe space was created. And ultimately, I created a show that my family needed. And it's been one of those things that for years I haven't gone there. And I'm finally at a personal safe space where we're getting ready, we're getting warmed up, and I can't wait to share it with the world.
And I look forward to it. I look forward to it. Every time I hear you just give a hint of it, I get just so emotional.
Yeah.
But also so excited for the breakthroughs that I know will happen with your transparency and sharing your story with your viewers.
You know, I did a TED Talk about why I ask people to go there with their story and I haven't gone there with mine. And it goes back to this. Sometimes there's multiple authors and it's not safe for all the authors. And I'm finally at a place where we're safe. And little girl Whitney can rest easy. And big girl Whitney created this and is about to share why. So I'm excited about that. And just, you know, reminding people too, we get a lot of emails through our website. People just want to be seen and heard and know that they can get through it. And that's really, no matter who emails in, even if it's not a show that we're scouting a topic for or that story didn't quite make it to airtime, we always write back and remind people that their story matters.
Whitney, at the start of our conversation, I shared my admiration for your whole body of work as a major fan. Having the privilege, again, of watching the growth of your show as Lakeshore Public Media, again, has been the presenting station. And I love to say that now nationally syndicated show. You share everyday stories, which is so exciting, that you share everyday stories of some of the most extraordinary people. Now, for someone that is listening right now, they may not be familiar with the Whitney Reynolds Show itself. Give a glimpse of what stories we can expect this season.
Yeah, our season opener, we are taping with a live audience, and it's called Dreams Unleashed. And we have Jessica Jordan Ping, who leads with her disability. And I'm so proud of her because not only is she doing that on social, but she took it to the national scale on our show and explains and walks people through, yes, I might have this syndrome that is very rare that has me with a prosthetic, but don't label me and don't put me in a corner. My dreams are coming to fruition and I'm taking people with me. And she's on that live show. It was incredible because for the first time I got to do audience interactions and hear about their dreams. I know, I like loved it. And on top of that, we have Jordan Spieth, who just came off of an injury last year. He's golf. People know him. People are like, wait, Jordan, you were with this golf legend. And you know what, guys? I just want to remind you, everybody's a person. Okay, so even though I was with him, I was complaining about my tennis elbow. He had his arm in a cast. And we went there with his story. And I love that even when we have these celebrities or pro athletes, they're not coming on our show to talk about the latest and greatest. They're going there with their story too. So you're going to see that this season.
That is so exciting. And also, I want to note, because you spoke about Jordan, to hear that you have guests that are not only from the greater Chicagoland area, but you take your show on the road. That is so exciting as well. I don't know if many of our listeners and viewers that are tuning in for the first time to the Whitney Reynolds Show, that they realize that not only does the Whitney Reynolds Show feature guests that are from the greater Chicagoland area, but you, I remember, I believe it was last season, you had someone from Columbia, or maybe two seasons ago.
I went to Columbia, Columbia. The country. And we interviewed a former FARC leader that has done a whole life turnaround. And even when I meet people from Colombia or Venezuela and I tell them what I did, they get like nervous. I'm like, guys, we're safe. We came back. I'll never forget getting back on the plane after doing these interviews and thinking, whew, that was a story that needed to be told.
Yeah.
But the impact that his story will have of going there and seeing what Colombia is like in the the yeah. love they need and the knowing that you can turn around a story. Somebody that used to hurt people now is all about love.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You have this, and I say this all of the time, but you have this ability to take a story, no matter what the story is, and again, find the hope in the story. And that's a gift. It really and truly is a gift, and it's a gift that not a lot of people have. Mm. Where does that come from?
You know, I needed that. I was that kid. I go back to that. I needed hope more than ever when I was in my challenging childhood. I needed a show that would remind my parents, you're going to get through this. And at the time, there wasn't that space. And what was really cool is over the years, I saw television morph into what I knew I wanted to do. And some of the greats like Diane Sawyer, who had impact on me, Oprah, who also started going long form and sharing stories that were hard, but ending with hope, was huge. Mm-hmm. And I started, even Jerry Springer at the end, when he does that little round table and they like do the whole breakdown of the whole, what we learned today, kids.
Yeah.
I was like, that's an interesting concept. Hmm. And now it might not be all the things that I'm like, okay, I want to be this person or this person.
Right.
It was seeing what I thought created change in their media lane and saying, ooh, if I could take a little bit of that and foster something bigger, combine a little bit of that. You know, we started the Whitney Rap, which is my podcast. And it's really kind of, it is that moment at the end where you're like, what did we learn today, kids? And as you know, a lot of inspiration happens when the cameras are off. You know, there's always that moment when a guest gets done and they say, cut, and you lean in and you share those last few things.
Yeah.
Or they say, you know, I was really nervous when you asked that question, but I'm grateful you went there, or I didn't know I was going to cry with, and that got me.
Yeah.
Those are those moments that I'm just like, wow, that we're all about.
Now, Whitney, I want you to take a moment. This is Women's History Month. You are so inspiring. If you could share a word or two of encouragement to women, I know you shared something earlier, but if you could share a word or two of inspiration to women, what would it be right now?
It would literally be that moment of looking inward, and I'm doing this right now as I'm saying it, and realizing that dream, and I said this earlier, but this is true, didn't accidentally land on your heart. That goal was not a mistake. I want people to know, especially women, that they can go for it. They can dream big. They can make waves, and they can do it. I was my best yes. People told me no. I always say there was no big open door. I climbed through the darn window. And I want to remind people they can do that.
Yeah.
And going back to also what we said earlier about supporting women, we need to be champions of each other. The day and age is over, ladies, when we look at competition. No, lift each other up. Having a daughter, having actually boy-girl twins, I see a very different side in my daughter than my son.
Yeah.
And we're sensitive and we hold space. We can be sensitive. We can be aggressive. We hold a lot of hats as women, and that's okay. That is what makes us us. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a nurturer, but I'm also a boss. You can be all those things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as I feel like I've literally grown up in front of the viewer's eyes, you know, we are stepping into this place of, for the first time, I'm like, all your hard work has paved off, and now we're taking everybody with us. So this next dream, as you achieve something you really wanted, you have to think, okay, what's the bigger vision? And so last year, I took some time, which, you know, I talk for a living, so it's hard for me to get quiet.
No.
Took some time to get quiet. Took some time to get to seek advice, like from how I do, which is prayer. And I said, okay, I want the vision for what is the big vision.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really landed on my heart is to be the strongest voice of hope in media.
Wow.
So, you know, you mentioned I do social media, and it's not for the fame.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that's a safe space. That is a vehicle to reach people.
Yeah.
Doing this interview now, this is media. How do we become the strongest voice of hope in media? And that's what we're doing.
Again, season 9 of your highly acclaimed, nationally syndicated, inspirational talk show, The Whitney Reynolds Show, premieres Monday, April 14th at 6:30 p.m. on Lakeshore PBS. And there are 6 episodes, and I got a little sneak peek at some of the episodes.
Yeah, you did.
You spoke about the first episode, Dreams Unleashed, episode 3, Unfiltered Conversations, and then episode 6, Inner Strength. And again, I am so excited. Now, for our listeners and viewers for Lakeshore Public Media, if they are interested in tuning in to see not only season 9, but also going back and looking at seasons 1 through 8, how can they do that?
So it really depends how people digest media. And I say that some people want that minute of hope on my Instagram. Some people want to go stream. Or as I always say, we have appointments every Monday at 6:30 on Lakeshore PBS. Okay. So what I love though about y'all being my home station is we release here first. So we hit the nation on World Channel, which is PBS around the nation at the same time, Saturdays, and then again on Monday. But we always honor our home market and our home station, Lakeshore, by releasing first at 6:30. So April 14th, you are going to see our premiere. I always feel like you get a sneak peek. You get to be my front row for the debut. And it's really something special this season. It is one that you can see our muscle that we have strengthened in this thing we call TV. You've watched us walk, crawl to walk to now run, and we're doing it. And every season, we're bringing stronger stories in stronger ways to the nation.
Absolutely. Whitney, before I let you go, you know, I always, as I said earlier, it's always awesome to experience you live. And you did share that you will have a live audience, at least for the first episode. But I understand that you also have a big event coming up April 17th in Chicago. Tell our listening audience about that and how they can get tickets before we let you go.
So Thursday, after the week that we debut on the 14th, that Thursday, we're going to have Whitney Reynolds live. And this is your opportunity to see live what happened on our first show and break it down in a roundtable type way. What I love about these live events like Whitney Reynolds Live is you get us. We honor our home market by letting you know, hey, we're here, we're believing in you, and we're going to highlight some of those local stories that we presented to the nation this season.
Do you have any special guests that will be in attendance?
We do, but I'm not going to release that yet. You guys stay tuned. An amazing lineup. It's going to be at Koval.
Okay.
We have this evening very curated that people come in, and as I alluded to, I'm loving this whole audience thing. Mm-hmm. So just know if you get a ticket, if you can get those at whitneyreynolds.com. Mm-hmm. But if you get a ticket, you might be involved with the night in a way you didn't expect.
Oh, that sounds so exciting, and it makes me really want to go online right now to get a ticket. Whitney, I think that you are just so wonderful. You are so inspiring, and that you are just a model for so many women, no matter their stripe. I always love having you here in studio. It's great to have you on the phone, but I always love to have you here in studio because you give me some of that energy that I need. So I thank you for making the trip from Chicago all the way out here to the studio, and we look forward to the premiere of your show on April 14th.
Thank you so much, D.
You're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Media.
Legacy Foundation is Lake County's community foundation. For over 30 years, we've partnered with donors and nonprofits, focusing on youth development, the arts, the environment, health, literacy, and other causes that matter to you. We're committed to Lake County forever. First things first, Porter County is dedicated to supporting families, healthy beginnings, and quality early learning, ensuring every Porter County baby is born prepared for a strong start in life. Learn more at firstthingspc.org.
I have a very strong connection to other students. Everyone makes an effort to help each other. I remember the feeling of being here, the feeling that I was a part of a family.
Learn more at pnw.edu.
Additional support for Building Blocks is provided generously by Tom Sorlis and Sue Eleuterio, as well as Porter County Community Foundation, serving Porter County since 1996.
Build and empower families in Northwest Indiana and beyond by supporting Building Blocks. Your donation to Lakeshore Public Media's Early Childhood Initiative will be matched, dollar for dollar, up to $100,000. Visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks.
Building Blocks, the podcast, a co-production of Lakeshore Public Media and First Things First Porter County, is dedicated to exploring the science of early childhood development and addressing the challenges that Northwest Indiana encounters. Dr. Mary Jane Eisenhower, Executive Director of First Things First Porter County, explores the vast world of early childhood development as she welcomes local experts, parents, and practitioners to discuss the building blocks for brain and language development. Here's Mary Jane Eisenhower with more.
Hi, welcome to Building Blocks. Today I'm speaking with Peyton Summers from Help Me Grow Porter County. I'm excited to hear about the work that she's doing to support families and young children in our community. Peyton, welcome to Building Blocks.
Hi, thank you.
Glad to have you here today.
Yes, so excited.
You just bring a ray of sunshine to families and children across Porter County. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to hear a little bit more. Help Me Grow. Tell me about what that is.
So Help Me Grow is a resource referral service for families. Our goal is to take a family that is in need of a resource and help get them connected. A lot of times families don't know what all is out there and available to them, so they can call into us and we do whatever we can to help get them connected appropriately to the resources that they need.
So they call into you, and what happens? They pick up the phone, it rings a few times, and you answer and you say what?
I thank them for calling, and we just kind of jump in to talk about what it is that they're calling for. How did you hear about us? Get an understanding of what they think they're calling, and then take whatever situation they're dealing with, talk it through, give any support that we may be able to offer, and then that may result in just a direct, here's a place that I know that's going to be able to help you. Or it may be, all right, give me a little bit of time, let me get back to you, do some research, and then get back to them with a list of places that they could call. Or sometimes it results in meeting up with them and walking through that situation. It just depends on case by case what it is that they're calling for.
It's so hard sometimes as a family to know who to call, when to call, is my concern warranted, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I know that we did a study with First Things First, and we heard loud and clear that families want to connect with a real-life person, so that's you, right? Mm-hmm. And they want to dial a phone number that is in the 219 area code.
Yes.
That checks that box. Mm-hmm. And they want to be in the central time zone. Help Me Grow. Check, check, check. That's fantastic. So we also know that across Northwest Indiana, we have so many resources for families with young children trying to make this really hard time of being a new family with a newborn or an infant or a toddler. We have a lot, but it's really hard to know. So how do you know where all these resources are? What kinds of homework are you doing to discover those resources?
The last year has really just been exploration for me. Just with the partnerships that we have for Help Me Grow, have made so many connections, which are so valuable, so appreciated. And then I spend a ton of my time just, I'll connect with an agency and say, hey, can I get together with a relevant person with you guys? And get together and talk. Let me tell you what Help Me Grow is, and you tell me everything about the services that you offer. What is the eligibility? Do you have a waiting list? Who can come to you? and really just have all those facts about these places, because a huge goal is wanting to connect a family to what's going to be the most beneficial to them, not send them on this wild chase of, well, you could try this, 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 and this, and just already know what the requirements are and if they meet them before we send them to that place.
So kind of cutting out some of those pieces that can be really frustrating. And as a new parent, you may not have time to make the phone call, leave the message, wait for the phone call back, maybe not get the phone call back.
Yeah.
So you really serve as that person to do that, which is an amazing service.
Yeah, we will even, as far as, right, the goal is to take a little bit of that weight off of the parent's shoulders. They may not even want to call me, but if they did, then what can I do to make it easier for you moving forward? If it is me calling all of those places for them and speaking on their behalf with their permission, then that's what we'll do. If I spend the whole day doing that, that's what I'm going to do.
That's your job. Yeah. Peyton, that's such a it's such a unique skill that you have to be able to connect not just with the families who are in need of resources, but also with those providers who have the resources. Mm-hmm. What got you started down this pathway?
So I have been with Opportunity Enterprises for 8 years. There's a whole history there, but for the last few years, I landed in this family resource specialist role. And that's really what gave me a passion for it and what started getting me connected with so many different places in the community. Opportunity Enterprises is serving one population, but it just... when you make that call for, you know, sorry, we gotta, when somebody makes that call to me and we have a conversation and I give them the information that they desperately are needing, I've had so many experiences where before we hang up the phone, the family is telling me like, our lives are changed after this conversation. We had no idea what all was out there. That's just something, how can you not be passionate about that, you know?
I just got goosebumps.
I do too, and I get it every time I talk about it, but yeah.
That's so powerful.
It is.
To know that you've made just that really hard time of having a little one a little bit easier.
Yes.
In your research, because it's really been this like year-long anthropological, sociological, psychological study that you've been doing, investigating all these different resources, what has surprised you the most?
Well, first of all, just the amount of resources that really are out there, not to veer, but when I started realizing this and I came to the first camp collaboration, I had no idea. Then it hits me personally. Just I was a young mom myself, and had I known about all of these things, you know, things could have been a lot different. And but... Sorry.
That's okay. Take a deep breath. Go, okay.
Yes. go back to the original question.
So tell us like what surprised you.
So again, just surprising as to how many different resources are out there. You can go into just one category of resources and then there's a whole list. It surprises me how sometimes they just don't seem available to people or that people have no idea that they exist. Mm-hmm. Or maybe how difficult it is for them to actually make contact with some places.
We keep using the word resource, and that's kind of a catch-all term, isn't it? It means a lot of different things to different people. When you think of resources, what comes to mind?
Help. Assistance, guidance, support, whatever it is that's going to help alleviate whatever their situation is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a lot out there. We often say that we have, you know, we're resource rich, mm-hmm. but systems limited. It's mm-hmm. there's just not one way to find that pathway to the help that you might need, and every family needs something different.
Yeah.
And let's be real, like every family needs something.
Yes.
So you say you're a parent yourself, you mm-hmm. were a young mom. What are some of the resources that you know about now that you wish you had known about when you had little ones?
There is diaper assistance, there is daycare assistance, you know, there is just emotional support. There are mom groups, there's groups for your children, play groups. There's lines that you can call or apps that you can just download to check your child's milestones. And a lot of those things I didn't really know existed. Sometimes you feel like you're just trucking through, you know, and
it can be pretty lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see that changing at all for families now?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I think that's the ultimate goal, to really reach as many, if not all, of the families, to let them know that we're here and what we're here for, because that can start before that baby's even born, mm-hmm. and then carry on through. And I really hope to just be able to gain those relationships with our community members and our families and their children, just so that they know who I am and who Help Me Grow is and what we're here for, so that when they're experiencing something, they're like, I know who to call, and at the very least, we can offer support, you know.
Peyton, I often call you the fairy godmother because you really do have that about you. You are really just sprinkling good vibes everywhere and glitter all over. And not to make light of the challenges that so many families face, but mm-hmm. how do families find you? Like, is there a phone number? What is a website?
Yes, we have a Help Me Grow website. There is a Help Me Grow phone line. We have some different marketing materials, and I sometimes joke about this and say that I just take our pamphlets and throw them in the streets, and you know, but just asking providers to keep our information in their lobbies, or to share it with families, or put it in their bags, that little gift bags, or, you know, however they can spread the information.
And I know that Help Me Grow is not just that centralized resource where people can call. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that really help to build up our system across the community as well. Mm-hmm. So I know one of those is the emphasis on developmental screening.
Yes.
Why is it so important that we have these developmental screenings for families?
That's a huge topic. It's really important because if you are waiting until, you know, after that delay is already established, then that's just going to continue, you know, on. If you catch that as soon as possible, there are, again, different resources, different therapies, different options for these families to help correct those things. Mm-hmm. And it's important to do that in a timely manner and make sure that families know that these screenings and these options are available to them. Even just a slight wonder, like, should they be doing this, or, you know, look into it, you know, because you may be preventing something, you know, from furthering.
And earlier is better. We know Absolutely. That decades of research now has shown that the earlier we can intervene when we suspect that there might be a delay or that there might be just a glitch mm-hmm. in meeting those milestones. Mm-hmm. There are lots of ways to support that.
Yeah.
I know you've been involved with one of our projects with First Things First in partnership with our libraries and also with KidWorks, Books, Blocks, and Balls.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Books, Blocks, and Balls and what that involves.
Yes, I am obsessed with Books, Blocks, and Balls. It's so much fun. It's a play group, essentially. Anybody can come. We rotate all around the Porter County Public Library system. So every other week, we are at a different location. Families come. We have different stations set up for them. For the kids to just play and go crazy and have fun. We have developmental therapists that attend as well and just model play for the families and for the kids. We're all down there on the floor playing and having fun. They also demonstrate just productive play with the kids. Mm-hmm. And we call them early childhood specialists, so that families don't think that their children are at a screening event. It's very light. It's very fun. And it's really open for them to just be able to say, like, hey, here's something that I noticed, or, you know, and we let them know, like, we have these early childhood specialists here for you to talk about if you have questions about development. Some parents are like, okay, and then some are like, oh boy, do we have questions, you know? And that's really important, because this isn't them having to make a doctor's appointment or go see a specialist. Like, this is just talking to a professional while you're on the floor playing with your kid. And it's just a really just light environment. And then we also have Help Me Grow has a resource table there. So if they were interested in participating in doing a screening, or they just come up and say, hey, like, do you know of any mom groups or support groups or whatever the case may be, yes, here's my card, connect with me, and we'll talk about it together and figure out what it is that you need.
And this is for little ones, right? We're talking infants and toddlers.
Yes, yes.
Which can be daunting as a new parent or as a parent with little older children. You think, oh my gosh, taking my baby to the library, are they gonna cry? Am I gonna have to go change a diaper? But it sounds like it's a very welcoming environment.
It is. We started out with just a certain kit of all of the toys and things for them to play with there. And then we realized there's a lot of babies here. So we expanded that, and now we have a whole baby section for little ones, you know. And we have even had families reach out that says, you know, I have a 12-year-old that does more so function on this level. Can we bring her? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you can bring her.
Okay.
Yeah.
We think of play, right? Like, it's easy to picture a 3, 4, 5, 7-year-old playing. What does a baby look like when they're playing?
It is just about encouraging them, looking in a mirror, shaking something, a rattle, hearing the noises, looking at how they're reacting to it. And then also that brings me to everything that we have available at the playgroup aligns with all of the questions that are in that ASQ screening. So when a family is looking on there, they may think, I'm not really sure what my baby does when I put a little mirror in front of him or her, because that's something that is listed on that screening. We have all of the tools there that they can really actually implement that and see their children doing it to know how they really are falling on that scale.
So you're making that connection for families. So the ASQ is an ages and stages questionnaire that many
Yes.
pediatricians or health clinics might use mm-hmm. to start a conversation about their child's development. And so I think what you're suggesting is, as a new parent, as a parent of several children, you may not think like, oh my gosh, I have to look, how is my baby holding a book? Or what are they doing when I'm, you know, giving them a toy to dump in or dump out? And
yeah,
but you've got that all right there.
Yeah. And when you're doing that at home, I know it can be, you've got a million other things to worry about at home. And so if you're even required to fill that out by the pediatrician, which some do, you may look at it like, well, I think this is what they would do. And then there, they can actually demonstrate it. And you can encourage it, you know.
And all of that is so developmentally appropriate.
Yes.
But to be clear, this is not a screening event. Nobody's watching the children to see
yeah.
how they're performing or
no,
acting.
It would only even be suggested if the family was indicating, like, conversation that that may be something that was necessary for them or that they would be interested in doing. Anybody could take the ASQ for their child, even if they are typically developing and have no concerns. It's also just kind of fun.
Just fun to see
yeah.
the growth and the development.
Yeah.
So I'm talking with Peyton Summers from Help Me Grow Porter County, and we're thinking about all the different resources available to families with young children. Peyton, I know that one of the important pieces of Help Me Grow is the follow-up that takes place. If a family were to call you and you were to provide them with a phone number or a suggestion about somebody to contact, then what happens?
Then we give them a couple weeks, and then we will call them back and ask them, were you able to make that connection? How did that go? Was that an appropriate resource for you? Are you getting what you need? Is there anything more that we can do?
I see. That's wonderful to have that just closing the loop, right? So families don't feel like if they had a challenge, they may not want to call you back, but mm-hmm. you're able to kind of check in and see how things are going.
Yeah. Yeah. Let them know we're still here.
We're still here. Yeah. That's for sure. I know many families and parents feel like they have to do it all on their own. Just if I admit that I need some help, it feels like I'm admitting weakness.
Mm-hmm.
When we know that asking for help is really a strength, how do you help parents to understand that or kind of get past that misperception?
I think when we're talking, it just kind of naturally flows that, like, everybody needs this. Everybody needs someone to look to, someone to turn to, that you can pick up the phone. They really can just pick up the phone to call me and say, like, I'm just losing my mind today. We all have those days, and letting them know this is normal. What you're feeling is normal. Everybody goes through it. Nobody has it all together. Nobody's judging that on our end. And just, what can we do to take a little bit of the weight off your shoulders?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've talked before with others who suggest that, you know, stressful parents kind of lead to some outcomes that maybe we don't necessarily want to have. If you have a sense that a parent is really seeking some additional support, you have those resources at your fingertips, right? Mm-hmm. To send them.
Yes. I think it's so important. It starts with the mental health of the parent as to, you know, how that's going to go with that relationship with the child. I think we have a lot of resources surrounding that. And again, some may seem more formal, and some are just a group that you can go to, or a place that's going to provide you with a person that's going to call and check in on you and make sure that you're doing okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
How has your experience as a mom helped you to be the fairy godmother that you are?
I think just, as I had just discussed a little bit, sometimes it can be really hard to admit that you are lacking somewhere, or that you don't have any idea what you're doing and you're just kind of going through it, or that you're struggling, whether that's mentally, financially, or you can't find work, or whatever anybody's case may be. I've experienced a lot of things, and I think it just really ties me to the mission to know if I could have just picked up the phone and had somebody that felt like a friend on the other end of that, I probably would have utilized it. I also rationalize with these parents where they feel like it's hard to reach out and ask for help. That's why I really enjoy going into places and talking with moms groups and things like that, because mm-hmm. I think it just makes it a little bit more of a warm invitation for them to want to call.
A familiar face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We know those first 1,000 days are so, so critically important for brain and language development, mm-hmm. for early relational health. How do you feel like Help Me Grow is supporting all of those things, brain development, language development, early relational health?
I think there's so many things involved. There is the talking is teaching, that's like helping with that language and brain development. There are the mental health resources and groups that we have and support for that really, I think, builds a strong foundation for the early relational health. It starts with the parents, you know, as well. And I think just us as a community, we're involved in all of these meetings and groups together, and we are constantly striving to say, how can we support one another in supporting our community? And I think there's just really endless possibilities.
It's, you sound very hopeful about the future for all of our babies in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, I am. I really am.
When you think about your life and you talk about becoming a mom and all of those, that started with your own first 1,000 days. If you look back, can you identify people or individuals in your life who really just were madly crazy in love with you and that had that positive early relational health?
For me as a mom, or for me?
Just for you. Mm-hmm.
Like me as a child?
As a child growing up, somebody was in your life that set you off on the right pathway, that was just madly crazy and would do anything for you.
Yeah, of course. I would think of like my grandma, who still to this day is the person that I know that I can call no matter what it is or what the situation is. She's somebody that I know I can always fall back on without judgment or barrier. She's like, whatever it is, she is a person that I can go to. And it's really important and comforting to have.
So she taught you trust and safety, and she helped you to know that the world was a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing if every baby had that for all of for all of our babies that they could be supported in that way.
Yes, absolutely.
Peyton, as you think about next steps for Help Me Grow, what are you and the team, what have you got in the works? What have you got planned?
We have some different things. I will love to create something that is a community event for parents and all families. Would love to look into that. Parent Cafe, stay tuned on that. We're in early conversations about it. But I think that'll be really exciting to actually connect with real people and help give them a safe space to just talk about what they're going through. And it's we'll be prompted questions and topics and conversations. And then aside from that, another way to reach families, a major goal is to be able to make connection with every family that has a baby in Porter County. That'll be huge. Like, let's start that off with just letting them know right from the beginning, you have a support system no matter what. Reach out when you need us.
That's about the strengthening our ecosystem that we have for, for parents and for new families.
Yeah.
As we think about wrapping up today, what advice do you have for parents, especially those expecting parents, but also those parents who are just in that what we call the fourth trimester, those first couple of weeks where you're not getting any sleep and you're not sure if life is ever going to go back to normal again? What would you tell those families?
If you feel like you need someone to talk to, if you feel like you might benefit from some additional assistance or guidance or support, just call, just do it, and then we'll figure out together how we can help take some of that stress off of you. There's nothing to be ashamed of when it comes for asking for help, or like I said earlier, just saying, I'm losing it over here and I just need somebody to talk to. We'll get through it. We'll figure out what is out there for you, what's going to make things easier for you and make you feel supported.
It's truly wonderful, the service that you're providing. It's clear that you love what you do. We're so fortunate to have you and the Help Me Grow team available to our families.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Look forward to seeing you grow with Help Me Grow.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for spending time with us today.
Of course.
Building Blocks, the podcast, is a co-production of Lakeshore Public Media and First Things First Porter County. For more information on Building Blocks, including this podcast, as well as the television show, visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks.
Legacy Foundation is Lake County's community foundation. For over 30 years, we've partnered with donors and nonprofits, focusing on youth development, the arts, the environment, health, literacy, and other causes that matter to you. We're committed to Lake County forever. First Things First, Porter County is dedicated to supporting families, healthy beginnings, and quality early learning, ensuring every Porter County baby is born prepared for a strong start in life. Learn more at firstthingspc.org.
I have a very strong connection to other students. Everyone makes an effort to help each other. I'll remember the feeling of being here, the feeling that I was a part of a family.
Learn more at pnw.edu.
Additional support for Building Blocks is provided generously by Tom Sorlis and Sue Eleuterio, as well as Porter County Community Foundation, serving Porter County since 1996.
Build up childhood development in Northwest Indiana by supporting Building Blocks. Your donation to Lakeshore Public Media's Early Childhood Initiative will be matched dollar for dollar up to $100,000. Visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for this week. Thanks to our guests, and we'll be back with you next week with an all-new show.